here again, and we're talking about some substantive legal issues on the income tax with David from Texas. David, that case that you're talking about is probably Eisner versus McComber. I remember that was mentioned in the movie, and Doyle v. Mitchell was also brought up. But let's take your last month, this month of January. At the end of this month, let's say that you get a paycheck for your month's pay for that month. Now, how much of that paycheck would it take to get your January back?
Now, that varies, actually.
Well,
I get your point, though.
The point is that you cannot restore that capital. And if you can't restore the capital with a certain, distinct, definite amount of capital, and you can't figure out, there are two ways of looking at this. One, you can't restore the capital, so you can't say how much of that is gain. And if you don't have the ability to say how much is gain, then you don't have the ability to say there's any income. And that's according to Eisner versus McComber. Now, the other aspect of Eisner was it said that not only must there be a gain, but it has to be derived from. How many times have you heard people say that whenever their stock they purchased tanked, that they still haven't lost any money yet because they haven't sold it? Well, you haven't made any money if it doubles either until you sell it. Well, that's gain when your stock doubles, but until you sell it, you haven't derived any gain. You haven't, pulled it out, have it separate, have your money back in place and something left over that you can call a gain, profit. And if you can't derive it from there and use it and spend it without any injury to the principal, then you don't have income. That's according to the United States Supreme Court. And in this particular instance, and I love this case mostly because of the tone that the United States Supreme Court took on in this case, it's the only time, and I have read hundreds and hundreds of Supreme Court cases, it's the only time I have ever seen the United States Supreme Court yelling at Congress. Capital letters, italics, big dashes, pauses, repeating the word, derived from, what part of this are you not getting, you bunch of idiots? You can't do this. And this was where Congress tried to pass, it passed a law saying that a stock dividend is income. And the Supreme Court in that same case says, look, Congress, you can't define income. That's why you don't find it defined in the code. Congress is not allowed to define constitutional terms. So Eisner was a very, very important case, but most of all, it was a case where the Supreme Court actually yelled at Congress and they still didn't get it. But that is, the part that I believe you're referring to.
Okay, I have another part of my question, if I might. According to the same film, there was another, I think it was a lower district court ruling, if I'm not mistaken, in 1823, which took on the argument as to whether or not there was verification of the 16th Amendment's ratification, which I am of the opinion that it was never properly ratified. So it really shouldn't even be in the Constitution. Apparently, it was a lower court ruling that ruled that it wasn't satisfied the amendment had been ratified, which I'm not either.
There was no lower court ruling to that effect. There have been attempts to raise that issue that have been kicked out by the lower courts because they said, this is a political issue, not a legal issue, and they kicked it back out and refused to rule on it. The closest we've come to that was the Benson case that was just recently ruled on. Just in the last month or two, where Bill Benson was being taken to task because of his book that raised the very same point that you do. And I believe that Philander Knox lied when he's, committed, in effect, treason. But I when we get back, I'm going to explain why probably it doesn't matter.
All right.
And we'll be right back here on the Life Free Zone.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then PowerMall Global is here for you. PowerMall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. PowerMall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you are interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
And we're back up, running, like I said earlier, very unusual lately, but we're running live for today. Here we are, live at least on this January 26th. And what we're talking about a minute ago was the 16th Amendment's ratification and whether or not it was valid. It probably wasn't valid, Dave, but I don't know that it matters because the 16th Amendment was drafted and adopted, supposedly, to overturn a case called Pollock that had rendered or had ruled that the income tax that was passed in 1894 was unconstitutional because it was a tax on income from property and therefore was a burden on the ownership of the property. And since it was a burden on ownership, it was a tax on ownership because of the source of the income. That, and being a property tax, it has to be apportioned. It can't be directly charged to the people. It has to go to the states. Well, the 16th Amendment was adopted to counter that. And then Congress thought they'd hit the mother load because now, although they had a very limited taxing authority up until then, and that taxing authority can be found in the case of McCulloch versus Maryland in 1819, that spelled out exactly how to tell whether a government can or cannot tax something. But now they thought they could tax anything because the whole idea behind the Constitution was to keep the federal government at arm's length and away from the people. It wasn't allowed to do anything directly to us. The whole idea was the state was between us and the federal government. It was to stay there. The federal government couldn't tell us what to do, couldn't tax us directly. The only time it could tax us was with an indirect tax, and an indirect tax is when it's voluntary, when we can choose to incur or not incur. You know, if you put a tax on whiskey, you know, that's voluntary because you don't have to drink whiskey. You can drink beer instead, or you can drink Coca-Cola. You, whatever you want, but you know, you can do what, it's up to us as to whether we incur the tax or not. So they said, no, this is property ownership, you know, it produces a profit, produces income, therefore it's liable, that makes it a property tax. Well, they thought now they hit the jackpot that they had broken through the states and had the right to tax us directly for any income whatsoever, you know, and no matter where it came from, whether it came from a taxable source or not. And the Supreme Court in Bruchhaber, though, after they passed this huge all-encompassing income tax in 1916 or 1913, and in 1915 or 16, Bruchhaber came along and said, nope, you don't get all of these other incomes. You can only tax what's taxable, because the 16th Amendment added no new subjects of taxation to your power. All it said was that we can't consider the source in determining whether it's direct or indirect. Now, I know that sounds technical, but let me give you a tip. If you'll go to truthattack.org, click on downloads. They're on the homepage, and look for the memorandum. Download that memorandum, and it explains every bit of this just as clearly as it can. I wrote that so the federal judge would understand it, so I know that you can get it. Go up there, you know, get that memorandum and read that on that, and I think it'll clarify all of this for you. Did that answer your question, David?
In part, my view is that they never really had three-fifths majority of both houses of three-fifths of the state legislatures vote in favor of this, and I'm not sure that the majority of the House and Senate voted for it. I think it was one of those kind of dead-of-night votes where they claim they get a voice vote. They don't have a recorded vote, which for constitutional amendments,
yeah,
I believe they're supposed to be required to have a recorded vote, and then they think they have a majority and throw it out to the states.
Right.
And they pulled.
I think your points are very, very good. I think that you're probably right. The thing, my point was, is that because of Bruchhaber says it doesn't matter, that they could tax income anyway. They could already tax income without the 16th Amendment. The only difference was that what Congress thought they were getting out of the deal is that Bruchhaber said, but you can't tax incomes that you couldn't tax before the 16th Amendment either. If you couldn't tax it before, you still can't tax it.
What are they entitled to tax then, according to Bruchhaber?
All right, according to Bruchhaber, they're entitled to tax those things that they were entitled to before the 16th. And those are any item or activity, any privileged activity that is either under the excising power, which is the excising of, or the taxing of the manufacture, sale, or consumption of goods, not services, the licensing of certain occupations, and the exercise of corporate privileges, or any activity that Congress has the right to govern, such as interstate commerce, trade with foreign nations, trade with Indian tribes, in the territories, virtually any activity that they have a right to govern in the territories or other U.S. possessions, and any other activity such as, for example, they have the right to create and give out a patent or a copyright or a trademark registration. All right, so they can tax it if you use that, if you derive income by exercising your patent rights, say a royalty or whatnot, then that would be income that would be taxable by the federal government, because that exists because they said it so exists. They gave us a two-step test. It's real simple. If something is within the taxing authority, if it's within the governing's sovereignty, government sovereignty. And the way to tell that is it has to either, one, exist by virtue of that government's authority, in other words, because it says so, or it's introduced by its permission. Now, that means that if you have a right to do it, it's not introduced by their permission, and so it's not taxable. And one of the things that the Supreme Court has also held is that if you have a God-given fundamental right to earn a living with your labor at any lawful occupation you choose, and so that means that you're not doing this as a privileged activity. When you go to work and you earn a paycheck, that's not exercising a privilege. That's exercising a right. And exercising a right does not fall within that taxing authority.
So why doesn't they strike the code from taxing that the way they're currently doing with everyone?
Because the United States Supreme Court has refused to accept any cases on taxes in the last 60 years. On any issue you get closer to this.
One, why is that? And two, preceding cases when they did make the decision that didn't seem to give authority to government to tax personal income, why aren't those used in defense to block the current practice?
You're talking about the pre-1936 versus the post-1936 Supreme Court. The Supreme Court before 1936 dealt with the Constitution. The Supreme Court ever since then has pretty much ignored the Constitution. And the backbone of the Supreme Court was broken by FDR over the Social Security Act. And I know we can get into that, but great call, Bill. I mean, David, great questions, and I hope I haven't, given you a sip of water out of a fire hydrant. But go to Truth Attack and pull that memo down and read that. I've tried to make it real plain. Sometimes it takes a couple of readings, but it spells it all out there real clear. But you're right about the 16th. It's a big hoax. But I don't know that from a legal standpoint, it really matters because of Bruce Shaver.
What about trying to get a new amendment, to delete the 16th Amendment, like what they did with Prohibition? They put it in and another one take it out. Could there be a movement
may very well happen. The problem is that they had the power to tax incomes before. So if you delete it, they'd still have the power to tax incomes.
Like your personal income?
Only, no, not that, because that's from your wages. That's from your personal earnings. But they already had the power to tax what is truly income, not what you call income, what comes in.
What everyone's commonly being taxed upon that theoretically ought really not be being taxed. What would be the legal remedy to stop the IRS from doing that?
Well, it's not income to start with. It's not income to start with, and it's not taxable. The tax is on taxable income. And if what you have is not income, the tax doesn't apply to you. And if you had income, but it's not taxable income, it doesn't apply to you. So, odds are that the law doesn't apply to you in the first place. I don't have an argument with the law. I don't have any complaint with the law. My complaint is that the IRS is ignoring the law.
Yeah, they're violating the law.
They're applying it to people and to things that it's not intended to cover.
Right, and what can we do to stop the IRS taxing wages, if that's the precise way to word it, then?
Start out by making your neighbors and your family and your friends and your coworkers know about these issues. Start talking it. Start doing something about it. As far as the public opinion goes, everybody believes that income means what comes in. Start with that.
Okay. By the way, Ron Paul is someone who wants to do away with the IRS taxing wages, what most people think of as income, the common person.
Well, I wish he would come out of he is aware. He's fully aware of this fraud. And we would love to see him come out on that issue.
He said he wants to do away with the income. Where people commonly refer to the income tax, he wants to abolish the IRS. That's in his platform. He's not only for it. I mean,
I understand that. I understand that. But he's still. I don't have any problem with IRS existing. Somebody's got to collect taxes. My problem is that the IRS is acting outside the law. I'd rather him be telling us that. And we're going to continue to press him and hope that he does.
He's in freedom to fascism,
Dave,
on that.
Thanks, Dave. We've got to move on to the next caller. Right after this break, but I appreciate the call, Dave.
Thank you.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is Tom Cryer. We are in the live free zone. And if he is the most patient caller, I guess, I've ever seen, we've got Bill in Idaho, if he's still there. Bill, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. Bless you. And thanks so very much for everything
and bless
that you do.
For being so patient, waiting so long to get up here today. I appreciate that.
Not to worry. It is so sad and disquieting, but you can understand Miss Jackson's terror that they would press on her. I feel much the same as you. I feel very sad that she would have to relinquish these wonderful people as representation to then go with this other UCC. It's obviously a secondary address, but I would ask, considering what is all going on at all different levels, and I had tried to draw the attention of this particular a plea to some attorney. It's on Dr. Stan Monteith's RadioLiberty.com. I am hoping and praying that it will be the reinstallation of the law and the spirit and intent of that constitutional law that will avoid a very unpleasant end to all of this. We're all surely aware. But Justice Warren O. Douglas in 1960 bragged to the American Bar Association that he and the court had turned our, Constitution on its head. And Congress ultimately at that immediate time could have prohibited that by using its power to regulate the proceedings of the court and make exceptions to its jurisdiction. I don't know, and I really appreciate, since you're so closely involved in the law aspect of this, if the survival and resource people could relinquish an hour sometime in the near future each, so that you could coordinate a roundtable discussion with, Mr. Ralph Wetterode up in Alaska, any more than Dr. Sam Kennedy. They are intimately involved in remediating these criminal proceedings at a very elemental constitutional level. But in this discussion here, Oliver Ellsworth, Supreme Court Justice in 1796, was speaking to Congress, providing a rule to regulate our proceedings, told the court we cannot depart from it. The present Congress can provide such a rule and enforce it by taking away court jurisdiction in every future case where it is broken. Now, that action would be, irrefutable, since it's Article 3, Section 2, Paragraph 2 of the Constitution, and it's supported by, tons of authoritative standing law, settled law. So my question is, considering how dark the day would be, that at least this approach, or if you in the law community could make one last minute, communication to, as I said, Jerry Spence, and form a bulwark of lawful authority to have Mr. Ron Paul, as fleeting a voice as he is having, and the small amount of the podium he has, if nothing else, to leave a last-minute warning to everybody that those are the elemental issues and how they are being abused constantly and defrauded in every court of this country.
Well, what you brought up was about really 15 questions there, but let me just try to boil it down. I have the same concern that you do, to begin with, as to what is going to be the alternative if we're not able to bring this back in a civil means through the system. Does that mean that the only and last resort is to bring it about without the system, and that would mean that we would lose the baby with the bathwater?
Yeah, we don't want that.
I don't want to do that. I don't think that the people of today are capable of generating a document and a system and a concept nearly as perfect as that in our Constitution that we have now. And if we were to toss out the government and exercise our natural and fundamental right to replace the government, because it no longer is protecting and preserving the rights that it was generated and created to protect, then I don't think we could replace it with something nearly as good as what the draft was that we were given to start with. The second thing is that with respect to the LV splinters in the community, other areas of constitutional abuses, and the diverse friction and competition, I guess you would call it, inside the tax honesty community, is that one of the reasons why, if not the principal reason why, I came up with the concept of the truth attack and proposed it to a number of groups, was in order to unify those groups under one single voice behind one single message that was irrefutable by the IRS. And we're going into a break, but I'll finish up and run a tail on this particular answer, Bill. Thanks for the call, but I'll finish this.
Could I hold on, please? Hello?
Well, we've got another caller behind you, and but let me finish up with the answer. You asked an awful lot of questions there. We'll get to it in just a second.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
We're back in the bottom of the second half, second hour of the Live Free Zone. We're kicking around about 15 or 20 notions that that Bill in Idaho put on the table, and I'll try to condense those. But basically, the whole idea behind Truth Attack is to unify the tax honesty community behind a single, irrefutable, easily understood message, and that is: there's no law making the typical working American liable. What it comes in is not necessarily income, and certainly wages and personal earnings don't qualify as the legal definition of income, and that we have a God-given right to earn a living through our own labor at any lawful occupation, which is tax-exempt from taxation by the federal government according to the Supreme Court. So why isn't the IRS following the law? And the IRS can't refute any of those 3 points, not one. Look at their frivolous tax protester arguments for free refuted page on their website, or go to their unofficial website, Quantloose, IRS front website, and you won't find any of those 3 points contradicted or refuted by the IRS. So we're trying to get everybody behind the same message and to turn some of these rubber knives and these tinfoil hats loose, and for the good of the country, for the good of the people, to to just get behind the one thing that we all can agree on. We can debate a lot of other points, but we all agree on those three points. Everybody knows that those are true. Even the IRS knows they're true. They just don't want anybody but you and me to know it. So, am I right? They're not too happy about the fact that you and I do know it. I can prove that. So, but that's where we're trying to go. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. And, I wish I had some magic words I could send to Sherry that would put one of her feet back on the ground, ground her to reality again and make her face. As Bill pointed out, it has to be terrifying. And I know it is because I've stood there, when the jury was walking back in, full well believing that they were coming back so fast that they had to have a guilty verdict. And I was expecting the feel of metal on my wrist. I know what the terror is like, and I can appreciate it. At the same time, the more terrifying a situation is, the more important it is to keep your head and to use the tools that you have to try to benefit as much as you can from the situation and protect yourself. And she gave up her shield. She gave up her sword. To go out and pretend that the court wasn't there and that conviction didn't happen. And I'm really sad about that. Well, let's go to Joseph in Missouri. Joseph, how are you doing, sir?
Fine. Good to have you on the program here. You and Larry Beecraft had a welcome addition to the programming.
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, I think Larry was live today, this morning, for the first time in a while, too. He and I have both been trying to help some of the same people, so when he's away, I'm away.
Yes. But, are you familiar with George Marcier's Invisible Contracts?
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. Wait, yes, I am, somewhat. I have been told about some of the ideas. I have not read anything by the gentleman, so I'm not going to be able to speak specifically, but I can speak in general terms that the notion that contracts, the law of contracts governs all law, is a misconceived notion.
Mm-hmm. Could it be partially applicable to our situations?
No, but there are, in our situation, contract law wouldn't apply to tax law at all. It's like saying, you know, do stomach ailment treatments apply to, you know, brain tumors? They're not the same.
Okay.
And now the concept of contract, there's a difference between, and this is where the confusion comes, is that the concept of a social contract. Now, that was a philosophical concept. It's not a legal concept. It's just like the word insanity is not a medical term. It's a legal term, and it has a legal definition. And there are a lot of people out there that are crazy as Dickens, but they're not insane.
Mm-hmm.
And there are insane people that aren't necessarily what you and I would call crazy. So, you know, it's just one of those notions that somebody went out, and what you do is you take a little bit of something and then you expand it and you run it out to apply it to everything, and all of a sudden you come up with this whole new set of invented law. And you and I can't invent law.
Mm-hmm.
Law has to come from the sovereignty through us. We're supposed to consent to it through our representatives, and theoretically we do. Although our representatives no longer are speaking for us, they're speaking for whatever powers that control them. But that's not us.
Yes, I totally agree. Okay, but after reading, I haven't read all of it. It's quite a lengthy piece, like 450
uh-huh.
pages. But what I have read, it makes me more cautious in what contracts I do sign.
Well, that's a good thing. See, something good came from that.
Yeah.
You really should be careful when you sign contracts because that you're taking on an obligation.
Well, I remember when I refinanced my house, which is currently it's paid, but I got a copy of the closing papers and reviewed them and then made a list of questions, and the lady at the mortgage company was quite surprised. She said in 7 years she's never had anybody ask any questions. They just really eager to sign.
Well, people think that none of that is negotiable to begin with, so why even bother to ask?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they all think it's standardized, so it must be okay, because it was okay for the last guy. And but you're wise to read those things, and you're not normal.
I've been told that in the past, and recently too.
But yeah, you're very wise to do that. And if the awareness of the importance of contractual provisions and how they're drafted has been impressed upon you by this book, then this book has accomplished a good thing. But if this book proposes to tell you that the income tax law or any other tax law is based in contract in any way, shape, or form, then don't eat that, Elmer.
It seems like his main basis is the contract with banks and Social Security encumbers you in the income tax scheme.
No, as a matter of fact, Social Security isn't a contract in any way, shape, or form, because it doesn't create a single obligation on the government's part to give you anything in exchange for that money.
True.
A lot of people are shocked to hear that, but it is nothing more than a tax. There's no contractual counterpart. It doesn't create a fund. It doesn't create any rights on your part other than what the government decides to give you. If you have what you think are rights under the Social Security law, those rights don't come from paying the taxes. Those come from Congress passing a welfare bill.
Mm-hmm.
And they could undo it just as well. They could tax your Social Security tax, take that and say, we're not going to have any more Social Security benefits, but we're going to keep collecting the tax. And there's nothing you can do about it. Because the Social Security tax does not generate or create any obligation whatsoever on the government's part to provide a benefit in exchange for that money.
Right.
It's nothing but a tax that goes into the general fund, just like the entire manufacturing excise tax or the distilled spirits excise tax or the tax on cigarettes or beer or wine. It's no different from any other tax. It's not an insurance policy. Or
right.
A contract of any kind. But, you know, that's another one of those where somebody has gone out and invented law that didn't exist before then. And the reason, I guess, you know, the reasoning behind that is that if I can invent a law, then I have the proprietary rights to it. I can sell it. You know, I know it sounds laughable when you say it that way, but I mean, mm-hmm. Isn't that what's really happening here? You know, they go out here, and this isn't something from a statute or from a court ruling. So how can it be law?
True. Yeah.
And, you know, so, but, and people don't know better than to buy it. But just all I can do is keep reminding people that everything is, just because it's shaped like a candy bar doesn't mean it's good to eat. You know, don't pick that up. You know, go wash your hands. You know, don't eat that, Elmer. And it's interesting to see how some of this works from a psychological standpoint, but it's terrifying when you think of it from my standpoint, where I'm out here trying to protect people and see that their rights are properly recognized and enforced and protected. And I see somebody telling them to go out here and do their own appendectomy,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a steak knife.
Yes.
And and then they do it. They do it, and you know they don't even know how to do this. Don't cut if you don't know how to sew it back. You know, it's just it is terrifying to me. And whenever I see people getting ground up in the system because of it, it's worse than terrifying. It's just it's depressing. It's sad, and it actually even makes me a little angry sometimes. Even though I try, like the Dickens, to never be angry.
Right.
But,
perhaps this wouldn't be applicable, but, you know, because of people who are acceptance of what a government body will tell them and not question it, it reminds me of a quote from, I think it's Andrew Carnegie, I read when I was in high school, who said that most people worth but room and board. And then, of course, I was quite offended by that quote, but as I passed through the years, I began to see that maybe he was on point and that people just hide and don't want to be aware.
Well, people have gotten accustomed to their chains. As a matter of fact, some people have grown to like their chains. They like somebody else to be responsible. That way, if their life goes to hell in a handcart, it wasn't their fault. Well, that's a heck of a way to live from my way of thinking, but then I come from a different generation. I come from, not only do I come from a generation, of baby boomers, who are old enough to remember what was left of a free country, but all of my friends throughout life have been older people. I've never really associated with kids my own age, and that's why I'm down to one friend. They're all gone, but they brought to me principles and memories that aren't in my generation.
Right.
They brought to me principles and ideals that were farther back even. And so I don't necessarily share the viewpoint of the current people, and that is that I don't enjoy being taken care of. I don't enjoy being looked after. I don't enjoy being cared for by the government, protecting me from my own bad decisions. But a lot of people have grown to like those chains because they don't want the responsibility that comes with freedom.
Right.
If I mess up my life, I'm willing to accept responsibility for that, but I want to be the one to mess it up. I don't want somebody else messing it up.
Okay, on your comment about my limited friends, I think every Saturday you're acquiring more and more friends.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I tell you what, I've met an awful lot of fine people through this program, yourself included.
Thank you.
And it's just it's a wonderful experience. I look forward to every Saturday, and I really miss it when I miss the dates and I'm out of town and where I can't stop. When I'm out of town, I try to hook up and from wherever I am, and I've done this show from Washington D.C. all the way over to California, the left coast to the west east coast, and but I can't always do it, and I miss it when I do miss it. I do have a couple of points, so I do want to close the show out with, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to let you go,
okay,
Joe. But I really appreciate the inquiry, but be careful when you're reading that book. Now, get what's good out of it, but don't eat anything just because it's shaped like a candy bar, okay?
Right, right. I agree.
Okay. And have a great day.
You too, sir.
All right. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention before the show's out, folks, is that I just before the show, Manny with RBN asked me, have you seen that you were in the news? I said, no. Well, he directed me to this article. And it's an MSN article. And it basically is an IRS propaganda piece. This lady who wrote the article, is going on about the Snipes trial and about how the IRS is going to crack down on tax protesters. Now, you know, and I know, the IRS hasn't been allowed to call us tax protesters since 98, 99. But that doesn't mean that the press can't. And so they can get the press to do it, then fine. But, this lady's name is Eva Rosenberg, and get your pencils and papers out, because I'm going to give you an email address in just a minute. And I don't have the article up directly in front of me, but at the very tail end of the article, she spends most of the article talking about some of the ridiculous theories and the ridiculous gimmicks that have been used to try to, quote, resist paying taxes. And that just reading that kind of got the hair up on the back of my neck, not just because maybe that's what got me started out talking about the tinfoil hat brigade again, but the fact is that I know the tax honesty community that I have met aren't out to resist payment of taxes. I haven't heard a single one that said that they were against taxes or that they didn't want to pay taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes, but it's an obligation, and we do it. When it's a lawful tax, then we owe it. But all of us are not opposed to the tax. I don't know. What we're opposed to is the misapplication of a tax or the illegal collection of a tax. All we want to do is to have the government obey the law. That's simple. Well, that's not a tax protester. That's a tax outlaw protester. We're opposed to a tax tax criminals. We're opposed to tax cheats. And the only tax cheat in the community right now that I know of is the Internal Revenue Service, because they're cheating millions and millions of Americans out of the cream of their earnings, out of that part that would make a big difference in how well they lived. Not just whether they kept a roof over their head, but what kind of roof they had, what kind of life they were living. That's that disposable. That's that extra money that makes the difference between getting by and living well and being comfortable. That's that comfort zone is what they're stealing. That's what they're cheating people out of. And that's what we're protesting, is there's the government's breaking the law. So then read a little farther on, and sure enough, to add the tail of the article, this lady tells us about Tom Grier's case. And whenever we get back from this break, I'll tell you what she had to say.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
And here we are, about to wrap up another episode, exciting episode of the Life Free Zone. And we're talking about this article in MSN, by Eva somebody or another, Eva Rosenberg, or let's see, I think I can get that up here in a sec. Oh, okay, Eva Rosenberg. And on the tail end of this article, she says, do tax protesters lose every single case? And, of course, she's listed out the cases of Irwin Schiff, and she's listed out the case of Larkin Rose, and talking about them as though they were lunatics because they were convicted in an uneven playing field. But she said, do tax protesters lose every single case? Have they no victories whatsoever? Well, there is one. Tommy K. Crier was acquitted of tax evasion, et cetera, et cetera. This was a monumental public relations victory for the tax protester movement until you read further and learn that he was acquitted only of misdemeanor charges for willfully failing to file his 2000 and 2001 tax returns. Crier was not relieved of any tax debt. He still has to pay IRS all taxes, penalties, and interest. Now, I don't know where she gets any of this, but first place, the trial was on July, the acquittal was on July 11, not July 1. She indicates that I was only acquitted of misdemeanor charges for willfully failing to file. Well, why do you think that happened? Because the government dropped its evasion charges because it knew it didn't have them. And the terms and the elements are the very same, except for the affirmative act of evasion. And then points out that I was not relieved of any debt. I don't have any debt to be relieved from. I don't owe him anything. And he still has to pay IRS all taxes, penalties, and interest. So who told her that? Her bosses, the IRS? Because I haven't heard from them. I haven't heard a peep out of them. Not one penny have they asked for. And if you look at my individual master file, you'll find that the balance of taxes that I owe on that master file, according to my account, is slick. I'm 000. That's what I owe them. That's what I'm on the books as owing them is absolutely nothing. So where does she get this information? What kind of journalist is it that publishes stuff like this? Well, just in case, since you have your pencils and papers out, somebody might want to write her an email at taxmama@taxmama.com. Her email is taxmama@taxmama.com. Maybe it would be a good idea if somebody were to email her and correct her on the fact that I was indicted for evasion and the government retreated to willful failure charges and that I was acquitted of that and that the government hasn't asked me for a penny, let alone required me to pay anything. Not only that, but I'm not that unique. Franklin Sanders and 19 other defendants were acquitted across the board on multiple counts. What about Joe Bannister? He was acquitted. What about Vernie Kuglin? She was acquitted. I'm the only one. What kind of homework does this lady do on her journalistic endeavors? And what about Bob Carey? 189 counts. This is just this year, 189 counts, 4-month trial, not one single conviction, scores of acquittals. That's TaxMama at TaxMama.com. And we'll see you next week right here on the Live Free Zone.